program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, the employment situation here, at least in the United States, is difficult to understand what's going on. I heard a talk show host here locally say something like the business owners, even small business, well, maybe especially small business, are in direct competition with the federal government because it's just it pays to not work, maybe. And so, what is God's heart on work?
Well, I'm hearing the same thing. I'm hearing national leaders. I'm hearing owners of certain types of stores or hotels or restaurants, et cetera, and they can't. They have all these positions that they need employees for, and when they go back to their employees, it's like, well, look, I'm already being paid so much that I won't do it at this time. You know, it's like, no, I don't want to work for the sake of work if I can be paid to not work. And unfortunately, there are people in the current administration, they're denying that this is taking place, but I'm hearing one testimony after another. And I think it's important what you just said, what is God's heart? You know, in other words, we have wonderful, we call them keys for living, on this topic of employment. We rarely mention it, but it gives all kinds of ultra-practical help. And even from the standpoint of what do you do when work isn't working? You know, what are your choices if your employment isn't what you know it should be? And so just to begin, let me just say that when we talk about employment, it's a performance of work on a regular basis that results in wages. And I'm going to emphasize this. Do you know that I am at times an employer, and for 35 years, at times we are seeking to hire the right person. We look to see what is the history of work or whatever this person has done. Are there holes? Is there a lack of work for a period of time? That makes a difference. So if you're wanting to be gainfully employed, be aware that a resume, a vita that has your work history and not showing gaps, knowing that there is work to be had. There are all kinds of jobs. In fact, they expected to have 1 million jobs at this point. We'll put it this way: what the statistics for labor? I didn't write it down, but my recollection was it was being stated that even though yes, there were X number of jobs, like 200,000 jobs that were increased, it was supposed to be 1 million, so it's only a fourth of what was anticipated. And part of it is so many people saying, look, I'm being paid to not work, and so there are other things I want to be doing with my time. You know, I'll get around to it later at some point, maybe. So that's not healthy. And let me say why I'm saying it's not healthy. Let's look at God's heart on work. And this is what we have for every one of our 100 keys for living. No matter what the topic is, what is God's heart on anger? What's God's heart on, evil and suffering? We have God's heart on all of these topics. Well, first, you find that my father is always at his work. And it was God literally is at work. Did he have to be at work? The Bible is just very clear, wanting us to understand God is working. There was the seventh day he rested from his work. But also God created, this is key, created work in the beginning, so it is be viewed as good, not a curse. The Bible says, look, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. So this is God's intention, that we be at work, that we literally better our environment around us. God wants you to enjoy your work. There are specifics on that, Ecclesiastes 3. God wants you to enjoy the benefits of your work. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. God wants you to work hard, knowing that you are ultimately working for him. This is a key passage. This is really important. It's Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. I think that's huge. And the last point I'll mention, God wants you to do the work he has prepared for you. He has work that he has planned before you were even born. So Ephesians 2 makes, verse 2:10 makes it clear.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get to our caller in just a moment. But if you have questions about the topic of employment, or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living sure to address your issue. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE, and they are available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. Can help you get these resources. Our keys for living called employment, getting the right job and keeping it. That's employment, getting the right job and keeping it. Jim was just mentioning that Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works. Works don't save us, but works are certainly the evidence that we are his and that we are called for a purpose. And he has prepared those things way in advance that we would walk in them. So just a reminder to you, an encouragement to you as well. If you'd like to get the resources again at about employment, the number is 800-488-4673. Also, check out our website at hopefortheheart.org/store. There you can find the new updated Keys for a Living. They're being updated all the time, and we've put out many of those that are new and updated. Also, we have the Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's biblical resources, and you'll find it all at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's get to our caller for tonight, listening in New York on WMCA. Tonight we have Angel.
Well, hello, Angel. Welcome to Hope.
Hi, June. How are you?
I'm blessed. Good to talk, and blessed to talk with you. How's that? Thank you. So what can we do to help you?
Well, I'm going through a lot in my life right now, and I've been going through a lot in my life for many years, and I've been mistreated and abused by all the boyfriends that I had in my life. I always lived with them. I never married any of them, and that right there, that isn't pleasing to God and in God's eyes, you know, in God's sight. So, in other words, but then again, they didn't treat me right, so as far as marrying them, that probably wouldn't be such a good idea anyway.
You know, that's a great point. And by the way, I don't think it's that you just marry somebody if you're just because you're married, or just because you are living with someone. In fact, I think there are times when what I have found, in fact, I'm going to tell you this, there are two people that were in there, I remember very, very well, who were dissatisfied with how their dating was going, and sometimes it was their own attitudes. It's like, I have to have a guy, etc. And so they both made a covenant. They just weren't going to date for a year and a half. I never will forget it. They decided, nope, we're not going, neither of us are. And then they waited until finally there was one that guy that came on the scene. There was a marriage right after that. I mean, you know, dating and then marriage. And then the second one about a year after that. And I just respected, there are so many females who think, I have to have a guy. I have to have a man. I have to. And, that's not the model at all in the Bible. So sometimes what happens is we get into messes. Because you said, you know, gone through a lot for many years, and you said been mistreated by all my boyfriends. These are not friends. The people mistreat you. They're not friends. They're not boyfriends. They are men that mistreat women. So that, I think that sometimes the paradigm has to shift. You didn't ask about that, but I'm just commenting about what I have observed, and so that we have a fresh perspective and are not desperate for the attachment of someone else. So continue on. You said you're going through a lot, and it's for many years, though, been mistreated by all your boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
So continue on.
And I'm thinking maybe God at some point did have someone in mind for me, but I went my own way and did my own thing and went down my own roads, traveled down my own roads and did my own thing. And mm-hmm. So now these, maybe he had more than one person in mind, and now these people, these men are either, maybe they're not living anymore, or they, I don't know, but maybe they're married with children, and, you know, and so, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not God's will that I get married. I mean, I'm 63, I'm not old, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I can say this for sure. Does God know your name? I'm asking you, do you think God knows your name?
I know God knows my name, yes.
Okay.
I believe that.
Do you think he knows your address?
Yes.
Do you think he knows how to get in touch with you?
Yes.
So what you and I can probably agree on is God knows it all, correct? He knows everything.
Yes.
So if there is someone who is the right person for you, is he all-powerful? Is God all-powerful?
Yes.
So does he have the ability then to get into your life, the right person, since he knows all, he knows everyone in existence? Does he have that power to expose you to the right person?
Yes.
Okay. You are exactly right. Your answers have been right according to what God says in his word. And what I'm saying is, we've got to be careful not to be premature and doing things to block who could be literally by God's design for you. But if we are, I'm going to tell you a little story. Have you ever planted carrots?
No.
Okay. I just only one time. My mother, I was a kid, and I had a brother and two sisters, and mother said we were going to plant carrots in the backyard. And so we planted carrots. You know, I didn't know how to do any of this, but she just showed what we would do, and this was only a one-time thing that ever occurred. And so there was a point at which she said, no, she said, when we finish planting, do not pull up the carrots. Don't try to see how they're doing. Do not disturb them. Leave them in the ground until they are full grown. And so, you know, I heard her, but there, you know, there's a point at which, have you ever heard the phrase, curiosity killed the cat?
The satisfaction brought him back.
Yeah. So you know, I was curious, and I have no idea how old I was, but I remember going to the back, and I thought, I wonder how it's doing. And so I pulled up several of them, and they just were little bitty, scrawny, you know, just teeny, you know, certainly not the size that they're supposed to be. And so, of course, I made sure it looked like it, everything was fine with all the ground, the dirt. And after the time that would be appropriate, whether it was a month, 2 months, whatever it was, I remember mother, we go out there and say, now we're going to pull up the carrots. And so I never forget. So she started pulling these up, and there were some on the very end. She said, wow, they were all distorted and deformed. And, you know, it's like, she said, I wonder what happened to these. I didn't say a word. I wasn't going to spill the beans. I wasn't going to say I disobeyed. I just acted innocent as could be. I never did tell her. In heaven, I need to tell her, but what I did. But the point is, I thought, oh, I was premature. Not that I knew that word. I did. There was a reason Mom said, don't pull anything up. Don't, or it's too soon. And so sometimes what we do is we interrupt God's plan, because he knew at some point, if it was much, much earlier, who would be the right person for you. And by the way, that doesn't mean that there's not somebody in the future, but to literally, if you will, have somebody that you're living with, another boyfriend, and you're not married, that is in direct defiance of the Word of God. Are you aware of that?
it's called living in sin, right?
Yeah, it is. See, God intended the sexual relationship to be, he designed it. He's not against the sexual relationship. It was his plan, but it was to be after marriage. It's for bonding in marriage and possibly for the making of children. And this is found just in the second chapter of the Bible. The first book of the Bible is called Genesis. The second chapter says, a man will leave father and mother and be united to his, not girlfriend, be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Now that term, one flesh, means it, this is the sexual union, but it's after they become husband and wife. So what you see is the model for our relationships that deal with marriage. And it, unfortunately, you certainly are not alone. Many, many, many people have been premature. In fact, I was just talking with someone tonight. There's a couple that's going to get married tomorrow, but they've been living together for 3 years. They fight like, as they say, cats and dogs. It's not going well. It's just a bad relationship. And the person telling me is just grieved over, this is not, I mean, they come to blows. So there's a right person, and you don't just go through with something just because, well, I just need to do it because, just because. But in the Bible, it's very clear. Again, the model is there for us. A man will leave father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. So that's the order. And whenever we are premature, it's kind of like we've got a deformed, the deformed carrots. It's like we, the plan that God had isn't the perfect form as it can be. So I think you're, and you really were on target. I'm not telling you something you don't know. So you really were right about your assessment.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions about this topic, or maybe there's some other topic that you're interested in, or maybe there's someone in your life who would need some direction and guidance from God's Word, you can call us at customer support at 800-488-HOPE. And they're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and can point you to the free downloads of our quick reference guides through our website. That's hopefortheheart.org. They could also get you some resources, materials into your hands that would help as well. We have Keys for Living called Considering Marriage, Are You Fit to Be Tied? Again, Considering Marriage, Are You Fit to Be Tied? Excellent resource, and you'll want to get that in your hands if that's an issue that is of interest or is kind of pertinent to your life right now. Well, let's get back to our caller, back to Angel.
All right, my friend, you're saying that you, it sounds like you really do want what God might have for you. And
yes.
you're open to having what would be right in God's sight. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. That's wonderful, because I want you to know it's never too late, ever too late, to do what is right. Because then what you find is, if you want God's blessing on your life, let me ask that, do you want God's blessing on your life?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, He has His blessing, and the concern that I have had, even for me, if I'm not doing what's in the will of God, then I won't have the blessing of God. If I'm going against the Word of God, I won't be in the will of God, therefore I won't have the blessing of God. So the wise thing to do is not be defeated about what's gone on in the past, because I don't want you feeling defeated. You've learned what doesn't work. I'm going to repeat that. It's valuable. You've learned what doesn't work. And what you've learned is doing it your way, not God's way. And I really respect you for mentioning that. So let's figure out what do we do? Are there other issues that we could need to talk about that literally will enable you to have the blessing of God, where you're not outside of the will of God? You're not doing what is not in His will. You're doing what's in His will. Therefore, you can have the blessing of God. So are there things that you want to mention that we need to strategize to figure out, okay, what do we do here?
Well, one thing is that for a while, many years ago, my sister and I, we played with it, but the Ouija board, but we didn't know exactly, I don't know if she did, but I didn't know anything about it. I don't know why I ever did it in the first place. I don't think she coerced me into doing it, but mm-hmm. we did it. And then at some point, more than one time, we were at my uncle's house, and my uncle and aunt's house, and I don't know if we participated in the seances, but we were there. One time we tried to contact Merlin the Wizard. I don't know what that was. I don't know why we even did that. And so... Mm-hmm. But it's like, and then many years ago, I saw, I guess she said she was a psychic. I don't know if she was a gypsy or a fortune teller, tried to pass herself off as one. But mm-hmm. I remember she said to me, I don't know if it was as she was reading my palm or after she read my palm, but she said something about, and I don't remember her exact words to me, but she said that I would have men in my life or boyfriends in my life who would take care of me, who would care about me, something she said like that, and they would all have brown hair. Well, none of them cared about me or for me, and most of them did have brown hair, but not all, so I don't know what to make of that. but
false prophet is what it was, a false prophet. Okay, continue on. And then what else?
My domestic partner, he was my boyfriend and my domestic partner, he was very abusive to me, not physically, but psychologically, emotionally, mentally, like that. And I think that, I don't know if it's the same spirit, that I think there was a spirit, I don't know if it was in him or around him, but he kept saying, he said a couple times, maybe more than a couple times, that he says, "I am the devil." Like that, with a grunt, like a non-human voice, or not really,
no.
I would say, not even human voice. And he would, he would always get upset about it. You know, maybe he was, he was abused physically in his life, so that maybe why he was, why he came out the way he did with me and with other people. But with other people, he was just like that. He wasn't, he didn't say I'm the devil to them, but he was always in a combative mood. He always wanted to be, fighting. And then at some point, more than one time, I was starting in with him. Even when he was starting in with me, emotionally and that, I was, starting in with him. And I shouldn't have done that in the first place, because that didn't do any good anyway. And so I don't know, but so it was the same spirit that maybe was around him. I'm thinking, I don't fear the spirit of death around him. I don't even like the word, so I shouldn't be saying that. But the thing is that he was always saying that he wanted to do something to himself. He wanted to hurt himself by bleach and put it in his eyes. He wanted to be blind. He didn't want to see anymore. He, after his nap, after his sleep, he didn't want to wake up in the morning. He wanted to kill himself. He wanted to throw himself off of his old building, where he had lived in an apartment in New York before he met me. And this was many years ago. He had lived in an apartment in New York before he met me. And he kept talking like that, more than once every day, that he wanted to do something to himself. He wanted to do something to himself. And he would say things that he wanted to burn the Bible. So I don't know why he said that, but, I don't know. I mean, I can see where he was physically abused, and that's why he was like that, how he was with me and with other people. But why he said he wanted to burn the Bible, I'm wondering what that was about. Now, I don't know if he ever did anything occult practices or if he, I'm thinking sometimes maybe he might have tried to, maybe he sold the soul to the devil, but I hope he didn't. But especially, where he says, "I am the devil," like that, like that. I don't even like talking. I just, but as I said, the same spirit or spirits, maybe they weren't he wasn't possessed, but he was, a couple times or more, I saw his eyes. I think even when he said, "I'm the devil," that he was a devil, that the his eyes would roll up. So I'm thinking, I don't know, but I don't think he was possessed by the devil, but very oppressed by the devil anyway. And so the spirit, let's say spirits of death were around him and destruction, whatever have you, then probably those same spirits are around me. And then also I had a boyfriend. I didn't live with him. I lived in one apartment. He lived in the other, across the hall from each other. And the thing is that in the same building. And the thing is that he would watch Dracula movies, and he had a book called, it wasn't a Bible, but it was called the Satanic Bible. There is a book, I think, called the Satanic Bible of Verses, or Satanic Book, but this was called Satanic Bible, but it wasn't a Bible. And then he also had an illustration of Kali, the goddess of destruction, on his wall. This was a boyfriend that I had. Long before, quite a few years before I met my domestic partner. But I'm thinking, I don't know. And he did what he wanted to do, this boyfriend that he wanted to watch Dracula movies, in other movies that he shouldn't have been watching, but if he wanted to watch it, that was up to him, So I didn't approve of it, but.
Well, first of all, what you described in regard to the Satanic Bible, was written by Anton LaVey, who was a Satanist, an atheist, and It was very, it's very important to many people who are into Satanism, and for him to say, I am the devil. And I think when you did say, well, I'm not saying he's possessed. My friend, there are different levels of what a person can be. And you've actually, you mentioned two. You can, there are four if you understand spiritual warfare. And what we're saying is, because some people, they know the term. Some people are familiar with the term being possessed or satanic possession, but they don't quite know how to think about it. And the important thing for you is you do want accurate information. I can tell that. But you've had many, many experiences that would open the door of involvement to the negative part of the spirit world.
My boyfriend who had the Satanic Bible, that's not, I was going to tell you, that's not the same one as the my domestic partner later on, the one who was, abusive to me. This was quite a number of years before I met my domestic partner. The one I lived across the hall from, because I lived with my domestic partner, he was my boyfriend and my domestic partner, but before that, my boyfriend previously before that, in another state, he was watching Dracula movies, and he, as I say, I don't know if it was the Satanic Bible, but it was a paperback book, and I don't know, something to do with the Satanic Bible. And then he, as I said, he had a picture of Kali, the goddess of destruction, on his wall. Mm-hmm. And also, who's interested, I don't know what this is exactly, but I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Theosophy?
Theosophy.
I think. I don't know.
Right.
Exactly,
it came out of Russia, it is definitely not Christian. And in fact, you know what? I'm very glad that you are communicating these levels of involvement. In fact, I'm going to suggest that we're gonna finish talking, today, but I think we need to come back if you want to. There can be what is called.
I was going to ask you if we could.
Yeah, well, there's a way, my friend. You don't want to be possessed. You don't want to be influenced. You don't want, I said there are different levels. There's oppression, there is obsession, and there is possession. What I'm saying about that is, I think you're wanting to be free of all of it. And that means that we will do something about it.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. We just want to say thank you for that. If you have questions or concerns about the topics we've mentioned tonight, we have Keys for Living that will help you. We have spiritual warfare strategy for the battle. That's spiritual warfare, also the occult, dispelling the darkness. Those and other resources can be obtained if you would call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They are available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central, and they can help you access the appropriate resources for you. The number again, 800-488-4673. Or if you have some questions or just to order that way, you can do so by email at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. And you can reach us that way as well. Again, it is customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Now let's get back to our conversation with Angel.
One question I have for you, and I want you to know we are going to be able to give specific help, but when you mentioned theosophy, how do you know about theosophy and who was involved in that, or did somebody expose you to it? What do you know about that?
The boyfriend I was telling you that I had before I had the domestic partner years later, the one who he and I lived across from each other, who watched Dracula movies and had the Satanic Bible. Mm-hmm. And the picture of Kali on his wall, he also, I don't know if he was reading it, but he had books on it. I don't know if he got them at the library or if I remember, or if he had them in his apartment.
Okay. Well, just to answer that specific question, there's a woman named Helena Blavatsky. She was known as the mother of the New Age. She was a Russian occultist who rejected Christianity and adopted pantheism, which means basically a belief in all kinds of gods. And she developed a cult out of Hinduism known as theosophy. And the theo part would be God. It's not supposed to be the wisdom of God, but it is not in any way. In fact, it runs counter to the God of the Bible. So it's not good at all. And anyone who has anything of theosophy, you want to actually get rid of it, to destroy it. Not give it away, you destroy it. So what I'm saying is, you have a number of people that you had in your life that were, as you said, domestic partners, people though who were either there would be a spirit, like a demonic spirit or satanic spirit. For him to say, "I am the devil," with that kind of voice, I know what that voice sounds like, and it's kind of chilling, is it not? A chilling kind of experience when somebody is saying, "I am the devil," the way you experienced it. Was it chilling to you?
I don't know if it was chilling, but I don't know why he was talking like that. And the only domestic partner I've had is the one. I want to say their names, but I guess it's up to me if I want to say their name, right?
Yeah. We'll eliminate the name. We won't. Let's not say the name. But you can say this man and that man. I'm understanding. It's just there's a lot of demonic influence, and what I can tell you is, if we talk about what is spiritual warfare, I think you have been involved in it very directly, and I'm going to describe what specifically we're talking about when we say spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the ongoing conflict against the human race, with three enemies. The Bible talks about the world, the flesh, and Satan. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is not talking about the beauty of the earth, the beauty of the oceans. It's when you see in the Bible on occasion the word world, it's talking about the invisible, it's ideas, activities, purposes that Satan influences in opposition to the God of the Bible. So it is, some people call it, somebody's worldly. That means it's not a compliment. It's being, in a way, trying to attract people to do things that are tempting and would cause them to have defeat in their lives. So there's the world, there's the flesh, and that flesh is, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what is supposed to be right or wrong. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then the world, the flesh, and then Satan. So there are these three influences that are very powerful. So what we're talking about is spiritual warfare is against, it's intended to defeat we human beings for the purpose of rendering, it could be if a Christian, there's a Christian, it could render the Christian ineffective or powerless, or to keep people from becoming Christians, keeping non-Christians from coming into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the passage that I mentioned that, in fact, it said, you were once walking according to the course of this world, and it talks about these three areas, the world, Satan, and the flesh. This is in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And so the point is, if we keep opening the door to by our own choices, or a person could be born as a child into or as a teenager and being involved with these dark, I'm going to say dark forces or occultic activities, like you, which you've mentioned. And that's been very helpful for me because I've written down what you've said. Seances are actually forbidden by God in the Bible. They're forbidden in the Bible. That's seeking to talk with the dead. And I can give you all those scriptures for those at a later time. But for you to know that the Ouija board, that's actually that type of activity of fortune-telling is forbidden by God in the Bible. And so it's helpful for you to know that even self-injury, and that's what you were talking about, a lot of people call it self-injury, but seeking to harm this guy that you were involved with, he wanted to commit suicide, he wanted to, or talk about it, you said his eyes would go back in his in his head, and all these things, to roll up, wanting to burn the Bible. All of this is indicating not anything that's of the healthy, positive spirit world. This is anti-Christian activity. And we are told, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But what we know is the 1 Peter 5 describes what goes on in our world a lot of times. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the intent of the enemy of God, and let me be clear about that. There is God, who is all-powerful. There is the enemy of God, called Satan. Satan is a Hebrew word, my friend, a Hebrew word that means adversary or enemy. And so the word Satan describes exactly who he is. He is the enemy of God. He's the enemy of the God of the Bible, the Creator God, who made you, who made every one of us, and who has a plan for our lives. And it's a good plan. But if we give in to or participate in any of these activities, the Bible says we are giving the devil a foothold. And there, we can have strongholds that make it very hard on us. In fact, the Bible says the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So at times a person can have a stronghold. Like if you were to have a stronghold, that means you're giving the enemy, it's actually a military term. It's like giving the enemy territory. Mm-hmm. And you want to drive the enemy out. And so since you're wanting us to talk again, what you and I will do is I'm going to give you an inventory of the types of things that could literally keep you in bondage, because I'm hearing you're not wanting to be in bondage at all.
No, I don't.
Is it? Okay. It's kind of like you've been there and done that, and this is, you've learned, right?
Right. Can I ask you something?
Absolutely.
Do you ever, I don't know, there's no way you can do it now because I'm in New York, but is there a way that, I mean, at some point you could lay hands on me, you know, for healing, pray to God in the name of Jesus that God would heal me and deliver me and you could lay hands on me. Is there a possibility you could do that at some point, you think?
I'm going to give you a word of encouragement. There have been studies done, and do you know that it is not required to lay hands on? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying we're going to do what you're asking. It's not, but it's not going to be a physical laying of hands. But the good news is we're going to take the authority that's ours in Christ, and I'm going to present a prayer to you, first of all, to absolutely yield your will to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to do what I think you're desiring. But I want you to pray with me right now. God, I want a real relationship with you.
God, I want a real relationship with you.
I know I need to be healed.
I know I need to be healed.
Right now, Lord Jesus.
But now, is that what you said, but now?
I want you to come into my life, Lord Jesus.
I want you to come into my life, Lord Jesus.
I'm giving you control of me.
You're giving me control of me.
Be my Lord and my Savior.
Be my Lord and my Savior.
I give my will to your will.
I give my will to your will.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Were you sincere praying that prayer?
Was I what?
Were you sincere praying that prayer?
That's good. Did I have to open the night?
We will send resources to tonight's caller. We'll do that free of charge because of your generous support of this ministry. We thank you for that. Keys for Living called The Occult, Dispelling the Darkness. Also, Spiritual Warfare, Strategy for the Battle. As well, we have Keys for Living called Satan, Demons, and Satanism, Seeing the Sinister Reality. Those and other resources are available as you get in touch with us at 800-488-HOPE. Anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and our materials and past programs, they're available at hopefortheheart.org. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.